Boom, we're on. Today's guest, we've got the lovely Kyle Faulkner. How are we, brother?
Good, man.
Thanks, first of all, mate, thanks for coming on the show.
No problem,
I appreciate it, mate. I know you're a busy man. And second of all, congratulations on your album getting released. Like I say, mate, there's no questions, mate. We just kind of fucking roll with it. Talk about, go back to the past, the, where you grew up, born, how it all started.
I was born in Dundee, 9 Miles Hospital, 1987. Like, 6/6/87, cracking day.
Day of life.
Yeah. Went to school, played football, snooker, that was my thing, and then got a guitar, got done in.
Joking,
what age? About 13. I used to get done in, but I got really done in one time with golf clubs a lot, and then after that, my brother-in-law bought us a guitar and says, like, you need to kind of stop going out for a bit, and that's kind of, that became when I became obsessed with it. And the Beatles and getting done in changed my life.
It's funny. That was
my thing. It's funny because you hear it from a lot of people. You always go, oh, I got done in too. That's what changed my life. And it's like, I really did though. Like, and then we were kind of the band. I think everyone in St. John's high school was obsessed with it. It was either they were into the Stone Roses, the Beatles, or Oasis, but it was like kind of all three. And then we just started covering them songs in a band, and then we started beating Irish dancers, which was a big thing, because the Irish dancers used to win the talent show every year, and we kind of won. And with that 30 quid you used to win, we'd back at it. And like, and go, you've got to give it to charity. When says, what's the point of getting a competition if you can't spend it on a carry? Well, you're 14 years old.
What was that line? So that's where it started, 13 then. Was it gang fighting?
There was always gangs in Dundee, but it was just like chasing each other. But you just chasing, you never get caught. But the one time I did get caught, it was like, oh shit. It was like, oh no, just chasing, and eventually it was turned around. My boys were there, I was like, shit.
Shite bags on the end, they can back and help you.
So there's loads of debates of who ran back that day. It's still to this day when you're in a swell in the party, it's like, I came back for you now, you know what? You left me for dead.
So that's when it started, 13, but that's classic Dundee, mate, because I was a bit wary coming here the day, and you say, meetings in Dundee, is that? Oh, shit. Did we start bringing the knives and guns with us? Anyway, caught this beautiful place, the place is... It's spot on, man. Lovely. This
used to be called the Doghouse. When we first became, we used to play in a place called the Bayview, because my cousin had a pub, so he just gave it for nothing. It was, so that's where we got our name, the Bayview. But then it wasn't a very good, like, we had to sort of get out of there. I think we were drinking too much, and we ended up drinking the bar dry one time, and it was like we had debt and stuff. So we came here, and we painted the whole top floor for Sarah, who used to run it. And she was like, right, you could just rehearse for free. But then once we got it all looking nice, we had that wee Super Nintendo, and we were living off Super Noodles for Lidl across the road. And we used to just like share them and just like, hey, I got a kettle. And we never left the place. Kenny would stay overnight and just pretend we were leaving because we had a key, and we'd just stay there overnight. Mm-hmm. Hey, metal parties. And then once like other bands knew that it was a cool bit, they were like, when we first got signed, we started touring, and the other bands were coming in, and they kind of ruined it, took over, and it was like, people were getting charged to go up there, and I was like, what's happened to our room? Where's our gear? Where's my Super Mario Brothers? I mean, it was all gone.
So that's what started in Dundee, the band. What age
We started the band when we were 14, and then we'd done covers, and then we kind of split up, because I can't remember what happened. People were getting apprentices and stuff, and apprenticeships, and everybody was getting into different stuff. And then we went away, and then it was my dad's funeral. And we were kind of the first time I'd seen the boys in ages, and we were like kind of pissed up. We were about 16, like, want to get a band together again. It was like, right, okay, we'll definitely do it, because my cousin's got a pub. Mm-hmm. So we done it, and then after that, like, Kieran was writing songs, and I was writing. We'd both been writing for a while, but we were like, oh, these are actually pretty good once we got together and done them. But that's how I kind of started, yeah.
So the boys, you were in the band of Huey, it's like a brotherhood. You grew up with these boys, they were in school.
Nursery, primary, high school. They were all a year above me in school. And then that just kind of, we've just always been there, so it's...
When did you realise, fuck me, we've got something here, we're brilliant, we're decent here?
I'm not sure, like, maybe if it, I think it was when my brother-in-law came down the stairs when we were rehearsing, we had like four songs. It was like Claudia coming down, a Superstar Tradesman and someone else, and he came down, and my brother-in-law was like, wow, that's really good. And he was somebody I was respected because he played guitar and stuff, and he'd kind of taught me a couple of things, and I was like, oh wow, it must be good. And then we went up the stairs, because we were still doing covers, but we had like four of our own songs, and people were going mental. Because I used to play on my own up above in the Bayview, and I used to play like Gary Barlow covers and that, and just like any, and the female shouted out like, Gary, and I'd be like, neighbour, now it's time. And I broke out of our tarts, and I'd be like, oh, this is no bad, I'm paid for this, okay? So I had my NPA system, and I was like, man, I was becoming a wee bit of a thing. So I was like, come on, the next time I'm playing, I'm going to actually bring my band. They were like, boo. And I was like, nah, they're good, honestly. And they get Gary Barlow the night, you know what I mean? But it was good. But after that, then it was like, I remember Kieran was like, oh, this my mate's band called the Killer Angels. But we were like, what, actual band? Because this was a pub. Mm-hmm. This is like a venue. Well, it was a venue. Well, it still is, but it's not. It used to be a major venue. Uh-huh. And they were like, oh, the Killer Angels are playing. It was like, coming, oh, we're getting to play with them. I went, what, a real gig? We're shiting ourselves. I'd be running about, like, getting shots of jackets and what am I going to wear? And for, like, oh, you got the carry on. Oh, my God, freaking out. And we only played four songs, but I remember my sister videoed it. And it was like, I remember that was the first ever gig in here. So it must have been, I was 17. And they must have been 18. So, and then we got signed like a year after that. So we'd just been there. We'd done this thing called the World Tour of Dundee. And we played all the worst pubs in Dundee.
Right, all the worst,
like,
pubs?
Well, no worst, but the roughest. You know what I mean? But like to us, that was like where we're drunk. You know what I mean? But now like, they're all shut down and stuff. But that was like mental. Like we played the rock in Venus Hill, which was mental. It was like, oh, people were sniffing gear on the stage, you know, and I'm just like, oi, and people just going up and like, that was mental. It was like,
do you remember any of it?
I can't really remember back in the day because that was
wild days.
That was like this was like dead early on, but there was a lot going on then. I mean, even when we got signed and stuff, we didn't realise how big a deal it was because we were kind of always treated like kids up until about now. So honestly, like, I was always like, oh, here, how much are we getting paid for that gig? You'd be like, ah, what do you want to know that for? So we were always a wee bit stupefied with that thing. We just thought it was getting done for a while. You know what I mean? We've had about 12 different managers. So it's like, it's no good thing. You speak to other bands that do well, it's like, it's because they've had decent management. So finally, yeah, I think I've like, so now, I've got good guidance now, I'm in a good position, but I think like, just for ages, we weren't interested, you know what I mean? We were into getting smashed and playing the gigs. Even the gigs got in the way, do you know what I mean? It was like, it was just a big pirate bus, just
a big party.
Just like, going every
big
place.
Fucking orgies and
yeah, it was mental, yeah.
I wish you'd have teamed up here then, mate.
crazy days, yeah.
But teeing the partner that as well, that must have been a buzz for you. That must have been. When did you realise, right, I'm making it here, I'm really doing something in my life. Did it scare the shit out of you?
No, I don't think I ever done that. We were dead cocky. And like, it was like, I think like when, I mean, it was small things, Kevin, for us, because you're heroes and stuff. I remember like, we played with Noel Gallagher in the Royal Albert Hall, and it was just even going about, it was like, shit, Noel's kicking about in that, Ken. It was like, that was your hero, Ken. So that was a big deal, Ken. But like, we headlined Glastonbury and it was just like, whatever, Ken. We were playing that gig, played three gigs that day, and it was like, it was, Ken, we had just come back from New Zealand, and it was like, there's loads of stuff, Ken. We played Glastonbury like six times now or something. It's like, but back in the day, now it's like, oh shit, we want a headline. Yeah, but it's like, when we were headlining, we were just like, right, man, let's go and get
it. Think it's because you're mad with it, but you didn't take it.
I mean, on that, when I played on that Glastonbury stage, I mean, if somebody showed me on a YouTube party, Ken, I was at a party like about a year ago. Somebody, have you seen Glastonbury? You're off your nut. I went, I can't mind that. But I was like, oh, yeah, them pellets, get what I mean? Somebody, them swedgers, somebody gave me. Like, yeah, it's like 9 o'clock at night at Glastonbury. I went, why would I do that? Like, uh-huh. I wouldn't dream of doing that now. Like, uh-huh.
But can 100,000 people?
Oh, mate, it was mental.
What were you on the Call the Beaties?
I can't even remember, like, actually playing the gig, but I remember just going, it was really fast. It was like, yes, it was fast, good. Right, no, on a bad way. At least we've got the job done, and boom, 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 boom.
But that's just, like I say, that's all a blur, but now you have matured. You've been to a rehab three times.
Yeah.
How's that? How have you found all that?
It's good. Rehab's good for anybody. Can anybody? It's, if even if you've got a problem, it's still good. It's like you'll find a problem. I mean, no, I'm saying that's how you should go. But I mean, the first couple of times I went, it was kind of, you going. I was like, no, stop nudging us. No, I didn't want to go. Like, I think you should go. So the first time I was just like, I'll be good. Can it's Thailand? But no, I've been to Thailand that many times now. It's like I love the place. But like this was like you're going to jail the first couple of times. But the third time I went, I was like, kind of, I wasn't attacking it serious. I was just looking to get a pal, and there was this Glaswegian boy, James. He was his name's James as well, but he was really sound. Can you meet all these people that have got serious issues, serious issues? And I was like, wait, I'm just trying to piss here. I don't belong here. Mm-hmm. And by the third time it had happened, I was like, wait, maybe I do belong here, kind of. And I remember like the people in the rehab were saying, like, see, after a month, if you do a month and you're getting on good, you can go to the studio. And it was always like, I was like, yes, okay, I'll pretend I'm really good, and I'll run a bit, and I'll run every day, and I'll speak polite, and I'll listen to people's stories, and I'll share and all this. And then the month came, and I was like, whoop, whoop, kind of like Christmas Day, like, yes. I went out to a big social meeting, like, no, everyone doesn't, you're not ready to go. I went, what? And they kept them for another 2 months, and I was like, like, pure. Honestly, that was me, like, pure, cuff me up, take me away.
Christmas?
3 months, yeah, fucking. No, it wasn't Christmas, it was, but it felt like Christmas Day for me, like, uh-huh. When it happened, like, uh-huh. Like, because I was, It was like it was Christmas Day was taken away from me. I was like, what? Can right? So.
But the first time, like I say, admitting you've got problems is fucking, it's so scary. Whether it's drink, drugs, shagging, gambling, anger, it's scary because you go, you don't want, we think we're all right. I used to go to my gambling meetings, I used to look about and go, I'm not as bad as fucking him, I'm not as bad as him, but sure as fuck, a week later, I'm back gambling, putting away and stuff, fucking lying, all the bullshit in the day, and then you go, wait a minute, have I got a problem? Because we all look at people and we think, I'm not as bad as fucking him, everybody else, but it's all for us. But now you're on the straight and narrow, man. You've released your new album. Everything's gone good in it. You've got a new baby daughter, 1.5.
Yeah, she's 1.5. Wild. She's good. Seeing them things, I always think, oh, Hannah Bairn must be mental because I've been my pals upset. But it's quite. I take it in my stride. You know what I mean? It's no like I don't think like shit. Kind of, it's like I really enjoy it. Kind of, it's like somebody. Where was it? I went to pick up something for my sister today, and she's a nurse. I can't remember what it was, but I went into the hospital. I can't remember what I was in for, but I was. She was just like, pick up this bag, and I went in, and the wifey was like, oh, and she went, oh, so how are you getting on with the daughter? And I went, oh, it's absolutely dang. She went, so it's okay, is that good? I went, I never fucking say it's okay. I said, it's amazing. So, and I was like, then I go spreading stuff, and I said, it's okay. I haven't loved my daughter, you know what I mean?
Like,
yeah, that's some shit starts, get what I mean?
It's fucking hard. You'd either play Glastonbury any day, ball up naked for ages, and sit and watch the way, that's how hard it is. It is, it's difficult, especially, but do you think that's one of the reasons you changed as well and said, right, fuck it, I'm going to rehab and I'm giving it a real bash?
I don't know, I think, like, because when we were in rehab, like, you're not meant to, there's no shagging away in rehabs, but that was where she was, that was where Bairn was conceived, in the rehab, so, but we were actually trying, because I thought, like, oh, just do it, and then it was like, I mean, I honestly went and says, look, I've got this dart, and I was, like, going about pacing the room, this was, like, when I was just kind of coming to myself, been in for, like, a sort of 3 weeks, maybe a month, and I'm just, like, couldn't really sit down and vomiting every day, and I'm really no good, I'm in a bad place, and I'm still, like, I'm just like fidgety and I'm no really listening, I'm no happy I'm there. And I went, right, I'm like, okay, I'm out of there. And I said, look, I'm sorry. And I was saying, I said, look, if this dart goes in this board first time, can't see any of them stories here, but it's true as fuck. I went, if this goes in here, I'm like, if this hits the bullseye, war is pregnant. Nah, it's hitting it, life changing, honestly. And I swear to God that I was fair. I'm no bad at dart, to be honest. Ken. But I was like, fair. Ken, no, none of this shaky handshake, Ken, because I've been after baby for you, again, fair. Right, and I went, yeah. So the next day, I didn't even ask what I was pregnant. I knew she was pregnant. I was like, she went, guess what? I went, I can. So I was like, she's pregnant. So like that was when Anne kind of changed after that. And then, I don't know, but there has been a couple of like, kind of couple of slip ups, because Artie does, but it's like no like full on, do you know what I mean? It's like I get that, I told myself back in lines, do you know what I mean? It's like,
there's no running 2 or 3 years and 4 years, it's a couple of weeks
in. Yeah, because I used to go on benders for like weeks on end, and I was like, and then it was like, I always thought that I never had any pals, but then my pals that were we as I wasn't, kind of a lot of them, I mean, I was at a barbecue the other day with one of my good pals, and he was like, here, just not being funny, but you did, there was about 3-4 years, you were a dick. You were a fucking arsehole.
I still get it, I'm right? Clean.
And I was like, what? When was I a dick to you? Went, mate, loads of people say that. It was not just me. He said, but I'm your good pal, that's what I tell you. He said, but I just, no, I'm saying you're simmed as fuck now, though. I was like, but I was just, them years, I was thinking I was simmed, and he was going, nah, you're a dick. And I was like, shit. Because you've kind of the mentality in your head, you think, oh, Abdi loves me, I'm sound. Yeah. I mean, I'm the funny guy, but that's you're not, you're a guy that falls asleep and like marks a cunt in yourself, do you know what I mean?
Yeah, you're shaving somebody's eyebrows off. But the loudest man in the room is the weakest as well, do you know what I mean? It's a shield in it. I was always a loud, daft guy, I was always full of it, because it's a mask, you want everybody to think, he's a great guy, he loves himself, and he knows how to have a good time, but they've never seen me in the house fucking depressed, suicidal, do you know what I mean? Hating life. Yeah. And I don't really see that side of you, but at a party you've got the dick out and you're tapping the tables, man, you're line after line and you're loving life and you think you're big. But all the gear that I was taking, I was fucking balls. Yeah. I had all sorts of debt. And I was gambling. So it just all end up one vicious circle. But you end up surrounding yourself with people who party as well, because it doesn't feel as bad then. But deep inside you kind of know it's fucking wrong. Do you know what I mean? What kind of stuff were you taking? Just with Charlie?
Mainly Charlie, yeah, but like, I mean, back in the day, everything was everything, you know what I mean? Like, you took anything, but.
You get it from nothing?
Like, back in the day, but there used to just be, like, you just in things, you just, it was a collective buy, you know what I mean? Like, let's go, we're going on tour, let's bank, you know what I mean? But, I mean, you know, there's stuff that I didn't like to admit to some of the stuff I'd done, but like, I mean, it wasn't good, you know what I mean? There's a lot of people that even were, back in the day, were kind of dabbling are now gone, do you know what I mean?
Indeed.
Yeah, like fucking loads of people, so it's like, it's kind of, I got a wee flag for years, but kind of wouldn't really touch. Even there was after when it was still on the channel, when the stuff was touching any other stuff, it's it's well dodgy, but there's only a handful of people that get took a while with it, and it's like, fuck that.
It's a slippery slope, but
it is.
If it starts happening with people smoking joints and all or whatever, and then it goes to, you know yourself, goes to smack or crack, whatever, it's a slippery slope, man, because we're constantly searching. As human beings, we search for stuff, we search. How did I feel good? For me, it was I was searching for all the wrong stuff. Mm. Because every time I was doing it, it was just make me feel 100 times worse. Do you know what I mean? Do you feel as if your career, because your career, did it hit a speed bump? It hit a speed bump after the view? When long did you stop as well? 2 or 3 years?
Nah, well, we're always playing. It's just like, I think the longest we've ever took out is like a year, maybe two years. But I mean, we've done like a 7 year set list thing where it was like, we're meant to be doing a new album, and then we finally got a visa for America, so we're like, wait, we could tour America, so let's just go and do a compilation album and do a couple of songs, and then we went to America, and we went for 3 months with on the bus, and then we'd got our money cut. Something happened, but we got, like, it's just our tour manager's like, there's no money left, so you got $10 each a day, which is like, fuck, sweet. Getting nothing, right? And it was like, I mean, there was a couple of, the sold-out shows were, like, in New York, like LA, San Francisco, which was good, but then because we had to do such an extensive tour, it was like, we were going in and out of these wee nook and crannies that we'd never even heard them before, kind of these places, and just to try and like cover the cost, and it was like, I wasn't making any money, and then it was like, fuck, and then, like, but at that time, I was banging the bevy, nobody was speaking to us for 3 months on the tour bus, I just got locked away in this wee bit, just sitting with a big massive telly on the tour bus, used to go, it would move out, get into the street, I used to sit there fucking drinking my Bud Lights as much as I can get out, like, and then a couple of gigs, I would just go on, sing one song, and go, fuck it, there's nobody here, I'm off, and then, and they were like, yeah, but like, we're not sitting here, like, you can't just leave the show. And I was like, one time I was in Detroit, and I was like, oh, I fucking love Eminem. Eminem was one of my big influences when I was younger, kind of like lyrically, and I was like, I loved him, I loved his first couple albums. And then I was in Detroit, and I was like, oh, I had a couple of tequilas in the morning, and I was like, oh, I love Eminem. And fucking next thing, like, you mind your plane tonight? I went, no, my plan is to get really drunk, go to sleep, and I'll wake up and play a show. Mm-hmm. And then I never obviously went to sleep, went and scored, and then fucking pure next minute, I'm pure, whoa, like, they're pure. So we're talking the whole tour, and it was like, even then, I was like, man, just trying to get a wee pal. They're like, nah, because your pal wants to go and get wrecked. And I was like, at least come to the pub with us or something like that. So, I mean, now and again, I'd, like, Kieran and Peter and I would be, ah, man, can do something. But they were a while, like, and they'd be a while, like, going to see the Washington, D.C. buildings and that. And I was just crumbled up in bed. I mean, and I'd got up at night and go out and just fucking go to strip bars and that. Just mental.
Were you the hardcore man in the band?
Well, I've been hardcore, like, like, everyone's pretty hardcore, do you know what I mean? It's like everyone goes through phases. Even if you want to stay off it for a bit, and you're like, even a touring, if you're like, nah, I've heard it too hard, I'm going to stay off it for a few days, rejuvenate, can get that, and then somebody's like, ah, Pete's just been in the match, he's like, fucking Celtic, I've just won. Fucking, right. It's a bit different when you're annoying me, though, isn't it? You're like, no, was that what I was doing last night? Then it's just a big rotation,
so
there's never.
It's a vicious circle then, if nobody's ever sober, to say, right, lads, man, you've got something here to take over the fucking world.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? If one's getting mad with it, if you're trying to stay clean for a week, but then somebody else is getting mad with then the five people you surround yourself with is the five people you become.
Yeah.
So the people you surround yourself with, you become them as well. So it's hard for you to get away or change unless everybody came to an agreement, because you wouldn't have changed unless everybody have changed. Because if you were sober in that bus, everybody would have done your fucking nothing.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? It would have drove you to drink.
It's hard, this. Then I think, like, fuck knows, it's always something, isn't it? Nobody's ever going to be fully happy, but I think, like, We do good, Ken. Like, we non-stop touring. We've done it more than anybody I know. Like, poor Ken. Like, I'll probably get a few things saying, "Fuck you, I have to tour near you," but I doubt it. Like, poor. We're non-stop. and even when there's time off, we're in the studio, or we're doing something. Do you know what I mean? And it's like, because like there's ups and downs. We've been like bang, and then next minute you're big in Spain, and then next minute you're like, yes, that's good. And then but you come back to the UK, and you're like playing fucking Bristol, but then it's a bit, Bristol's class, but 1 minute you're in the academy, and next minute you're playing Tekla, next minute you're up to the academy again. So it's always up and down for us. It depends, you get what I mean? It's no like, yes, we've got that hit song. It just depends on
again what we've heard. How do you see it's in life, man? It's easy to make it, but it's hard to maintain. So what happens is some people get to a certain stage and go, I'm not saying news, but we've made it. If you think you've made it and you've already took two steps back, it's all about the progression. Getting to a level saying, fuck it, man, how do I go bigger again? Or keep raising the bar and keep going, do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
So what do you think you've never had any like proper guidance at all, or somebody takes under a wing and go?
There's definitely never been any guidance, and I think we're, because of the whole thing, like, thinking we're pirates and fucking trying to, we thought we were invincible, you know what I mean? So, and I still do, like, I think, like, we've got a fan base, right, which is good for anybody, you know what I mean? Even if we go any place, there's always going to be people there, you know what I mean? Mm. Sometimes it might be, can we play up the Shetlands or something. It was like, kind of, it's half full, but you're still like, come on, it's still Shetlands. Does anybody come here? Come on, so
it's almost like, people.
But I mean, like, that's good. But that's the thing, you're like, come on, Shetlands is class. Can you think that? We've been there a few times now and it's brilliant. Can we went to Orkney recently and it was like, we thought anybody was going to be here, but it was brilliant. Can we stay there for a couple of days and it was like, even the iron just tastes different. And you're like, oh, this is cool. Mm-hmm. But like, I mean, and then again, it's kind of good to keep showing your toes that you've got to keep working. Like, and as, and I think as well as a band, like The View, like we've been through fucking shit, you know what I mean? Like, together as a band, and we've all had really serious fights, like, no, like, rapping the past, no, like, bang, no, bang, like, no, just, you're being a dick and stop it. It's like, fucking hand that. Like,
and we get like, knives and
like, fucking, shut the door, lock them in, like, yeah, like, chaos, like, smashing guitars each other's head in a mental. Ken, but, like, so, and we're still pals, you know what I mean? It's no, like, Ken, it's like, there's been a few times, like, I've just been, I just didn't think I could face the boys, and I'm, oh, my God, what have I done? What have I done? Ken, and it's good, it takes Rennie to come in and go, right, here's the lowdown, right? It's what you were doing. You were like, Arby was playing FIFA. You came in and tried to stick a head on somebody. It was pretty bad. It was all shit. I was going to accept my apology, you know, and I'm like, shit. Like, I can, Arby's kind of left, like, you're on your own here, right? And I was like, what, could you maybe tell them? And like, nah, you need to go and sort it. Like, but Arby's done it, like, no, just me, everyone's done it. Do you know what I mean? Had to apologize. I think Pete's the only one that's no done it, like, so he's all right. But Arby's kind of done it. So, but I just edit more than often, do you know what I mean? But no anymore, because I think if somebody was to do that now, it would just be, what are you playing it? Yeah, I mean, that's out of order, you know what I mean? But back in the day, it was a regular thing. Everyone would do it, and it was just fallouts. But there was more good times, and always good times, you know what I mean? Like, but it's just because there's after shows as well. Yeah, it's not just like, it's the after show, on, and you just kind of, you're like,
just learn to say no. It's about changing, going, no, because you've still got your full life ahead of you, man. You can still achieve whatever the fuck you want.
Yeah.
You've just released a new solo album. The name of the solo album, you're saying, is Liam Gallagher picked the name of that, I heard?
He did, yeah. Me and my lass were in Thailand for a few months, and Liam and Debbie were over there. We've been pals for years, so they were like, oh, just come out of the hotel. It's like this big swank of thing. So we just spent an hour and had a shindig for a few days. And I was like, oh, I can listen to the album. It's normally just a music listening competition, like, pure CWAC. Mm-hmm. Oh, I can that better than you, and that's what it becomes, and then it was like, oh, and he says, oh, no, thank you. And I was like, oh, fuck, that's cool, man. I said, because it's a lyric in my song.
Aye.
And then he said, if you didn't use it, I'll use it. And I was like, oh, bastard, Ken. So I was thinking, oh, I didn't want it to pick it myself. It's kind of my first solo album. But I thought, nah, you could tell it, can't we? But there was loads of stuff. I don't know what was my, I wanted to call it Almost Pleasant. I mean, Almost Pleasant. Some you smell like shite in the air, and you go, is that, that's Almost Pleasant?
I think I like that, but I'm not sure.
It's like hops, kind of like hops. You didn't care it was good. I can, it's creating beer, but, and I can, I like beer, but is it pleasant? It's Almost Pleasant. Out there.
Boom. How long have you been pals with Liam?
I'm, don't know, like, I met him, we all met him at the Liverpool Echo Arena, but 2008 it was, so 10 years ago. First time we got access to all various passes, kind of, because we were, I can't mind how we'd met, but we just got invited to come back, and it was like, whoa, come on, Wade's World, like, we're going to meet Oasis. It was like, fucking hell. That's amazing, eh?
Mate, that's some achievement. Do you ever look back as well and go, fuck me, man, I've done all right for myself? Or do you look back with a bit of regret as well?
Nah, sometimes you look back with regret, but going to rehab and that, they teach you, I have no regrets. Kind of, I regret nothing. They say, don't have a glyph, get out. I know you've got to regret. Sometimes I wish, like in the past couple of years, I just piss my money up the work, you know what I mean? But I'm always going to be like that. That's the way I am. Unless you find a woman that doesn't do that. But me and my lass together piss money up the work, together. Just put it in, piss it up. No, put it in, but just like. But like, so now, I just think, like, even getting a mortgage, like, driving license.
Congratulations.
Just day and age, you know what I mean? It's stuff that the band done years ago, and I'm just clicking on now.
Just a bit of growing up, and that's just a bit of responsibility. But like I say, the past is the past, it's fucking done. You can look back and go, I could have done this and done that. But like I say, it's all about preparing for the present moment and try to enjoy the rest of the future. So what's the next steps for you then? Since the album's released, how does the band feel about that and all?
They're supportive, you know what I mean? It's a strange one because it's not just like I'm saying, right, you just wait, I'm out of there, so on. Yeah. Like everyone's doing stuff. I mean, Kieran's producing stuff. Pete's touring with, well, I'm not sure if it's happening yet, but he's meant to be touring with a big Liverpool band. But I don't want to mention it in case I fucking get him his job fucked up.
I just say it, I mean, the streets.
So Abdi's doing stuff, you know what I mean? So it's like, it's good. It's good to have a bit of time off, because even when we do have time off, it's not really time off, but this is actually like just time apart, you know what I mean? It's like, oh, I think we should spend some time apart.
Like a marriage breakup, isn't it?
Yeah.
Were you nervous at telling them about the album, or was it like
No, the last time when I was in rehab, the last time he had to do this thing where you got to make your you got to apologise to Abdi. It's hard work. I had to do it to people that have threatened, but I was like, shit, did I even do that? And it's like, I'm a manager, old manager, and I had to go and speak to the man. Like, I was like, but they're arseholes, and it doesn't matter. You've got to apologise to them. And I'm like, oh, right, okay. So I'd done that, and then it was quite hard hearing that for like one of my ex-managers, and then he was like, explained to how I was being. I was like, shit. So I was like, really hard, you know what I mean? But then you're in this sort of group thing, and I had to do it to the band, and I was like, well, kind of point, and I'm a nieces, and I'm a... You know that I've offended everyone personally, but you just do it, you just make amends. Not my whole family, so I thought, I'm not just going to do a collective thing and have a group chat, I'll do them one by one.
Write
them
a letter. Balls,
yeah, I did that, and even some of my family were like, what are you doing this for? And I'm like, wait, just accept it.
Just let me go, just accept it, let me get the room.
Like, it's cool, okay? You're not going to be getting these letters every day, just like accept that one in a million, and I'm not going to do it again, so.
Well, that's kind of closure for you to move on to the next level.
Yeah, like, I done it to the band, and they were like, it's cool, Ken, don't worry about it, right? We can't, you're going through a hard time, and can you wonder yourself? And I was like, what, for that long? He's put up with us, I mean, it's like quite bad, so.
Were you that bad?
So I've been told, yeah.
So you remember. What was the trigger point for you, but to spiral it all out and just go, fuck it? Was there a point?
There was none. I just thought there was no limits. I just didn't. I just thought I was always in jail, and just like, I thought, how did I get here? And just like fucking just constantly in trouble. And it's like, but I'm not an arsehole. So it was like, I think I could blame it on anyone, but it was always like when I'm out, I'm just sort of, somebody always says something. I mean, somebody come up to me in Glasgow and went, I was told that you fucking you were hitting your bird or something. I was like, what the fuck are you on about? And he went, fuck, you can dig this. It was in the box or something in Glasgow. Mm-hmm. I'm like, what the fuck did I just get digged there for? Ken, so I'm like, fuck, next kind of like pure whatever. Ken, but I've got normally got a wee bit of fucking heavy around with us. Ken, nowadays.
Just in case.
But like we used to like fucking loads of heavies because it was constantly bothered. Ken, I used to have a personal one. And I was like, I had like two on the bus, and then we'd take like it was pure, it was really nuts. Ken, like. But now it's like, can I just like, I've got my pal that looks after us and that, but it's just not that I need looking after, but there is.
You need protection. Because
people read in the paper sometimes, kind of like some of the shit they read, and they think, these are your arsehole, I'm not rapping the bus, and it's like, what have I done to you?
Mud sticks, but, so you know the press, yeah, I know that. That's the only way they sell is through negative or whatever. So if the mud sticks, so people read what they believe, and they go, people automatically go, I'm going to call him out when I see him.
Yeah.
But then you start to get a chip on your shoulder and think everybody's looking at you, and then the paranoia kicks in and all.
Yeah,
so that's why if you have a bevy in the pub or whatever, then you've got that I don't give a fuck mentality.
Yeah.
Because I don't care if anybody's going to see it, so you're prepared.
Yeah, there's a lot of that.
Do you know what I mean?
But I think nowadays, like, and even in Dundee, I used to go put my hood up and like scared to go about and just waiting on the next thing happening. But now it's like, Ken, I think like, but I've no been a recluse, and just got, even in Glasgow, there's certain pubs I wouldn't go into and that, but now I'm like, if somebody wants to speak to us, they speak to us, but I used to get scared. Mm-hmm. And I was like, a wee fucking exactly, scared right. Boy, yeah, but I was like, wait, because I didn't have a day in on that anymore, like, kind of, it's like, now I'm just like, kind of, I embrace it, kind of like that, so, kind of, if anybody wants the photo, come up.
So you're gigging now, you're selling out arenas now, you're getting the album on tour, where's the next gig? This weekend, isn't it?
Falkirk is this weekend, then going to London, then it's like a wee sort of UK thing, just as this is a sort of tester with the band and stuff.
Mm-hmm.
Then there'll be bigger dates at the start of next year.
Right.
This is just sort of like just breaking in. And then we'll be going to Asia and Russia and Europe and shit. Just the same old, what you do, that's what you do.
So have you got a new band, or is it...
Got a new band, yeah. Like, sad, they're just like sessions.
Are they sober?
Yeah, they're all sober, yeah. They're all sober, right, until after the show, But even then, because I had my brother and I got another couple of guys in, and us together, and we were like, wow, it was a party. Even in rehearsals, it was like, let's get the beers first. Mm-hmm. It was like, see, Connor, really, I'm not sure, I've been through so many band members, like trying to get the right ones. But
I think it's just you.
No, I was like, it's just like, fuck knows, but I think I've put the nail on the head. So we're some good together, because it's not about, this new band is about, so see with the view, every record we sort of progressed a wee bit in harmonies, playing and then just getting better with instruments, Ken, because we all sort of grew up together, playing together.
Aye.
So everyone would progress together. So every album you could hear the difference. It's like more harmonies or there's more. Whatever, do you know what I mean? More strings and stuff. Mm-hmm. So with this new album, it was kind of just me doing it, and I do all the vocals on it. So that's normally the boys would do that, but now I sort of know what I want it to sound like. So now it's like going with the new band. It's like you've got to do this, and that's how I had to get the right band members to be able to do it, to pick the right the people that could sing the right bits, you know what I mean? So it's not really about the playing, it's about all these mental vocals, and it's like that trying to recreate that I've sung and trying to. So it's fucking.
Is that a new Splinter album? Is it something different for you? The View would produce?
It's normally like with here, with the View've got a formula. It's no, I'm not sure what the formula is, but we'd stick with a like a guitar solo, we'd try to find a drum beat kind of and all this, and it wasn't about that, it was about writing the song and then adding what was needed to it, do you get what I mean? And it was like strings, and I wrote other string parts from like this Mellotron thing, which is like an old. I was recording in Paul Weller's studio in Black Barn in Surrey, and it was like this old like Mellotron, which was Paul McCartney's, and it's like a tape thing. So I recorded all the strings on that, and then once I'd wrote all the harmony parts and stuff, we gave them to the Cairn Strings, and they like this. I was recording it in Glasgow and Chem 19, and they done all the string parts and like padded that out and made it sound like that. Because originally I wanted to sound like sort of like the Beatles sort of like went Sgt. Pepper, but that's the hardest thing in the world today because it's the greatest album ever. So. I mean, that's what I had in mind, but then it ended up becoming more poppy, which is kind of like, I'm a big fan of like Crowded House, Beautiful South, Squeeze and stuff, kind of that kind of thing. So that was kind of what I was going for, kind of sort of like sort of serious but kind of cheeky.
Is that a personal album as well? Is it a bit more you, a bit more?
Well, all the songs are about me. See, like it's like weird. Somebody wrote it's because I'd done this interview in Glasgow recently where I was going I'm a narcissist, just joking. It was a joke and everybody laughed. There was a big crowd of people, it was about 600 people, and I was going, I'm a narcissist, and everybody's laughing. So I went, oh, keep saying that, keeps this working. I mean, I'm a narcissist. I'm going, oh, guffawing. And I was like, oh, this is working. And then somebody went, ah, that Faulkner's no bad, but he's a narcissist, gun, isn't he? And I said, whoa, I was fucking joking there. You know? But it is quite narcissistic, the record. It's me singing about myself. So normally Kieran writes some songs, like, and now Pete's writing as well, so it's, and then you've got, there's a mix, and Kieran will put in a bit of my song, and I'll put a bit of his, and there's that whole thing, and it's a band mentality, this is none of that, it's just me, and it's a bit problems I've had in the past be well, do you know what I mean, and it's kind of, it's like, no thank you.
But you've overcome them as well.
Yeah, I mean, it still is one of these things, you didn't ever know if you've really overcome anything, or
was it there. You're always going to be battling, mate,
you just, it's hard to understand what the problem is in your mind, because
everything is the mindset, but I keep on, I say it in every show, mate, everything is the mindset, it's what you believe, everything you battle up here. I just read that 6 guys have committed suicide in the last week have committed the army. Everything is, all these demons that we're battling, that's where I think all the drugs, all the drink, we're searching, mate, because we want to take these voices, we want to get them away, man, we want to feel at peace and at calm, but we can't really do that because we don't really know what our path is in life. But from talking from experience, when I stopped all the bad stuff, you start getting aware, you start getting clarity, and you start going, right, wait a minute, man, I'm starting to feel good. I've never felt this. Is this what it really feels like? Because we tell that much lies that we're fine. So you're like an onion, you wrap yourself around layers and layers. So when you stop all the madness or try to change or do new things, you have to unravel all that madness, then you start figuring out who the fuck you're again, which is a difficult thing to do. It's difficult to accept that you were an arsehole in the past. Do you know what I mean? You put your hands up, it's difficult, but then you start getting used to it. You go, do you know what? I was a dick in the past. You go, I know you are. Fine, you know what I mean? Where's your biggest following? Because you've talked about Russia and all that there. Do you have fans over there?
Glasgow. Glasgow's our biggest follower. Yeah. We've done Russia a couple of times, like Japan, we do well in Japan, but Europe, just our place, we do well every place, yeah, but. I mean, America back in the day was the big end. Like, we got ASCAP awards and stuff, which is like this songwriting award. It was a big deal, Ken, and George Martin, Beatles producer, presented it to Pete, and me and Kieran were writing the songs at the time. Mm-hmm. And we were in Morocco. I can't remember, we were someplace on a writing trip, Ken. And then Pete was like, oh, by the way, I won an ASCAP award, but he's kind of accept it, so I'm going to this big party to accept it. And George Martin, the Beatles producer, was there. And I was like, no way! I think we were in Mexico, actually. We were in Mexico on a holiday. And I can't mind. We're someplace. No, Pete was there. I can't mind. But we were gutted. So we were taking off in America, and they got cancelled. We couldn't play there anymore. So we got banned for there for like 6 years. And then I toured with Matt Ronson for like 3 years. And then he got a letter from Quincy Jones personally to speak to the visa people and sort of does it and just says I've changed my ways and stuff. So.
Fuck's sake, man, he's got some Paul Quincy. Yeah. So Matt Ronson phoned him and they got your visa.
It was something like that. I was like, I'm not sure, but there was.
He's banned for America for 6 years. Then?
It was just visa issues there for like. So it was just me.
Is
and
that all your madness in the past? Yeah. In jail, you ever do a sentence?
No.
Just all weekenders and fucking daft shit.
Yeah. That won't happen again, though. You'll never see me in the fucking cells.
Good, mate. I wish I could say the same for myself. good guy now. When's the singles and that getting released? Have you got any dates? When's the single coming out?
We've got, there's two singles already out, and then the next one, we're going to do a video for it, so there'll be a date soon for it.
Good.
We're releasing every single on like on 7-inch. We've already done two.
Right.
So we're going to do like 5 singles and have a wee box. So other cuts, right. Cool as anything. There's going to be a separate B-side for everything. But you can only get them on vinyl, kind of B-sides, and right. There's only going to be a few hundred on mid.
And where can people buy all these?
You can get them in the Psy Records in Dundee. It's the only shop that does it.
It's the only shop that does it?
Mm-hmm.
Get involved, people. The next tour, so I just, tour's filled up, you just saw it St Luke's?
Just saw it St Luke's, yeah. There's going to be some more announcements as well, but things kind of saying it unless the agent tells you to get agents, man.
Agent here, that. Listen, mate, it's been an absolute pleasure for coming on, mate, and I think you're a great guy, man. I don't care what they read about me, but and I think it's unbelievable that you've got your new solo album out, man, and all the best for the way and passing your test, man, and like I say, man, for taking the time out, I really appreciate that, mate.
Thanks
and I wish
much.
You nothing for the best for the future.
Cheers,
sorry, before I go, I've got a shout out for, we've got our homeless documentary coming out on 2nd of September on my YouTube channel, so subscribe. Also, I've got, check out Indio Paws, it's my friend James's business for dog grooming, dog watering. Also, Fansford Creative for printing of flyers and posters for the homeless documentary. So, Kyle, brother, thank you, and tune in, subscribe to the channel, and speak to you soon.
Cheers, mate.